Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. I am your host, Joe Bono, joined once again by everyone's favorite Florida man, our permanent recurring guest, Mr. Andy Francis. Andy, how are you?
Don't refer to me as like Jack Klompas here, okay? I'm not some distant Florida man. You think I've never driven in a Cadillac before? I'm doing all right, but getting ready to come home momentarily to New York, so I'll be joining you in the cold rather soon.
You'll be coming home for Christmas. The Islanders are coming home for Christmas after, well, it's a 5-game road trip, but their next game is Thursday night at Madison Square Garden, so presumably they slept in their own beds last night after a 1-0 shootout loss to the Avalanche. You know, we'll just kind of take the big picture look of these last four games. You know, 4 points in four games, I think I would have signed up for 4 points through four games, with it being Boston, Arizona, Vegas, and Colorado. But how they got the 4 points is kind of frustrating. The fact that they left points to be had both in Boston and in Colorado, because they become an inept team in the shootout. And then obviously losing what appeared to be, at least on paper, the most winnable game, 5-4 to Arizona. So like the end result, I'm okay with, and the team seems like they're okay with it based on their comments after the game in Colorado on Monday night. But, you know, there was more to be had here.
I think your hesitation is obviously deserved, because you're watching the games, and, yeah, you can, from a newspaper standpoint, you could say, well, you know, they're on a road trip. It's not like they're under 500. They're 1-1-2 if they can snag a win against the Rangers. But as we've always said throughout the course of this year, whether they're at the top of the standings, bottom of the standings, it's the formula, and eventually the results are going to play out. We've talked about how they're bottom three in expected goals against throughout the majority of the year, but then, you know, we're all called Grinches and all this stuff when we're focusing on things like that, because they're churning out the wins, because you're getting Vezina level play out of Sorokin and even Varlamov. So, you know, you're called the Grinch when you bring that up earlier in the year. But then when the actual goals against meet up with the expected goals against, you start blowing games left and right. And you're losing 5-4 to Arizona. You're losing to bad teams like Philadelphia. And then everyone gets angry, but you shouldn't be angry if you saw the witch's brew being stirred earlier in the year. So it's really what we're seeing right now is not a surprise to me. If there's any little positive, they seemed to embrace somewhat of a defensive effort against Colorado. But when you look at the game versus Vegas and Colorado and just watch those third periods, it's the hockey equivalent of pull and pray. They're just praying that they don't like they don't blow the lead, or in the Colorado case, you know, fall behind 1-0. I mean, if you look how badly they were outshot, and unfortunately, when they're trying to play that style, because they've abandoned the trot system, it's not like you're limiting teams to 1 or 2 chances. You're hemorrhaging chances. And that's why there's this general uneasy feeling about those results, because you're seeing the team just getting dominated in the third periods. You don't see that from other teams. You watch these other good teams, you never see something like that. It looks like they're holding on by a string. Yeah. They're holding on like to Sylvester Stallone's arm and cliffhanger, and they're just hoping that they can hold on for a point. And I think that's what gives us this uneasy feeling about a road trip that actually isn't that bad right now.
You know, I haven't seen Cliffhanger, but we'll tackle that at another time. I don't know how.
Don't. It's an obscure 1994 action movie. You don't have to.
It's kind of my wheelhouse right there usually. So, I'll have to check that out. But yeah, I mean, after the first and second period, I was almost thinking, all right, well, this is one of the more responsible games that they have played defensively. Again, they're doing it without Adam Pellick, who missed now 7 consecutive games, still hasn't started skating. So you're all in awe. You're like, okay, we like this. Maybe the team's a little bit tired with all the travel. They're playing a more structured type game. And then, like you said, 19-8, they're outshot both in the third period and overtime. The Islanders did not have a shot in overtime, although they had a lot of possession. So yeah, they held on, and this was an Ilya Sorokin earned point. He stole a point. He wasn't able to steal 2 points, 46 saves. I know how much you love stats. 46 saves, the second most saves in a non-win shutout in NHL history. The 46 saves by Sorokin last night, only Curtis Joseph, as you remember, his 52 save performance in December of 1996 versus Detroit had more. So, you know, but it was good to see Sorokin obviously play back to this level. There was a thought, I think, prior to Varlamov going out, 6:22 left in the third period against Vegas, that he had played well enough in Boston, played well against Vegas, and Sorokin's been in this dip, and maybe you go back to him in Colorado. And obviously that was not an option. He's out. Corey Schneider got the emergency recall. He's on the bench yesterday, and you're going, we really need Sorokin to kind of bring back that A game, and you got his A++ game last night. So, you know, moving forward, as you look ahead to the Ranger game, he's probably going to get another start. I don't know. We're still waiting to hear out, Liz, when we're recording this, what the status is of Varlamov. The point, okay, you wish you could have got a second one. You get the point on the road against a susceptible Colorado team with all the injuries that they have right now. But the big plus is that you saw vintage Ilya Sorokin.
Yo.
Yep.
Okay.
Could you not hear me?
Just take it back from vintage Ilya. You saw vintage Ilya Sorokin.
Okay. You saw vintage Ilya Sorokin, 13th career shutout last night.
Yeah, and it was great to see. I think in order for them to progress and to do well and to find themselves in a playoff position, they're going to need that. And at some point, they're going to have to look in the mirror and embrace a different style of play. Because with the roster that they currently have constructed, saying, oh, no, we're going to be able to figure this out, we're going to be able to outmaneuver and outscore our opponents, it's simply not going to happen. And, you know, I was looking at like the Boston Bruins, for example. Why is it that under any coach that they have, you can ship in any coach? Why are they always difficult to score against? They've embraced the mentality. They have a coaching change. It's still tough to score against them. It was tough under the previous regimes, the one before. Doesn't matter. Julian, Therrien, you throw someone behind that bench. As long as that core of veterans are there, it's like they hold everybody responsible. It's just frustrating to me that the Islanders have so many veterans and players aren't held accountable like they are in another veteran-laden team like Boston. And, you know, we don't have...
Did you hear and read Lou Lamoriello's comments from Monday morning at the morning skate?
Would you mind paraphrasing for me?
I'll read them verbatim if you'd like.
I saw that he... the only thing that I saw for him from him was what he mentioned about like Varlamov and stuff like that.
They asked him about his thoughts about how the Lane Lambert system is, how things are going so far for the Lane Lambert system, right? And he goes, all the questions about the offense, I think, have been answered. Whenever you do that, there is a little sacrifice on defense. I think that's where we're getting right now, is a combination of both. Very pleased with the status of where we're at right now.
Well, here is what I would say to Lou. I'm not one of these Lou haters like everybody else, but I actually did finally figure out the Lane Lambert system. You know, we've been talking about that sporadically throughout the course of this season. Like, what is the Islander system? I figured it out. It's Barry Trotz's offense with Doug Waite's defense. That's currently where – that is the current Islander system. That's what you get. No responsibility in your own end, but not some offensive outburst. You see many stretches of games. It's like, it's one thing – like that Arizona game, if every game was like that, you'd say, all right, that's the Doug Waite squad. 5-4, losing, scoring, giving up leads. But it's not. They go stretches. Like, they got shut out last night, couldn't score more than one power play goal against the Flyers, shut out by Carolina. Like, they get shut out and held under two a significant chunk of the time. So it's not like you're getting the constant offensive outburst. You're getting Trotz's offense with Waite's defense. And the one kind of ace in the hole is a goaltender that can steal it. No Halak, nobody like that this time. So you have a goaltender who can neutralize a bunch of those deficiencies. So that's kind of where we're at. The percentage of hope from me is gradually decreasing that there's going to be some moment, some grand realization of, oh, this, we have to adjust our play. Because we're starting to get to the halfway point, and I'm one of those people who says none of this really counts until you're at like 50 games, and I still kind of believe that. However, you start getting to the halfway point of the season, and you start to see the same things for 40 games. It's growing increasingly unlikely that you're going to see a philosophy shift after that point.
Yeah, and I was surprised a little bit about the comments by Lou, because he's usually pretty straightforward and blunt. Like, he's never had a problem to say, you know, this is where I feel like we're lacking. And he could have ever easily said, it's still an adjustment period. We're in a playoff position. We've seen some good things, but obviously the team needs to get better defensively. He could have said something like that, and he didn't. So I'm not sure if he just wanted to kind of give a vote of confidence, you know, to his handpicked coach following the dismissal of Barry Trotz. But, you know, I did find that comment a little bit interesting, because I think any, you know, honest observer knows, you know, what you had just said, is that they're not showing really any kind of defensive philosophy currently that's been consistent throughout the season, other than hope that your goaltender plays well above average and either keeps you in games or puts you in a position to win games. And during this last dip, I mean, they've lost 4 out of 5. You can sugarcoat it and say that they are, you know, 1-1-2 in their last 4, but they've lost 4 out of 5 games. They're now tied for 8th place in the conference for a playoff spot, with other teams nipping at their heels. And it's mostly because they haven't been playing well defensively. They played poor defensively against St. Louis. They played really poorly defensively against Arizona. And, you know, this is the result. So a little bit surprised that the coverage that Lou seemed to give with that comment. Overall, a couple of bright spots, I think, over the last couple of days is, you know, and someone you've talked about in the past is Simon Holmstrom. And not just because he scored a goal, although that was a really pretty first NHL goal in Vegas the other night to give them the 3-1 lead, but he seemed to be also more confident with the puck yesterday as well, and was even creating some opportunities. So maybe that, you know, boosts the confidence offensively, gets him to unlock things a little bit more, and maybe he sticks a little bit. And then Hudson Fashing's a guy who, with Palmieri out of the lineup and Clutterbuck out of the lineup, you notice him. When he's on the ice, you notice his speed. He gives the team a different element. These are two guys that have been bright spots here as kind of replaceable type options, or reinforcement type options for the Islanders without 100% being healthy, that have, I think, you know, made an impression.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's always good to at least have some energy pushing the older guys who don't just believe they're guaranteed a roster spot. You know, you think back to earlier iterations of the Islanders, even ones that weren't that great, but when they had Trent Hunter and just gave him a chance. When you give these younger guys a chance and at least to push for a top six spot, you know they're highly motivated. Sometimes that brings the best out of the guys in front of them. I thought Holmstrom since day one, if that was his uncomfortable phase, his unconfident phase, then great things are to come, because I saw a guy who, remember, if you're not going well on offense, there's only so much you can do. Like if you're nervous around, jittery around the puck, but defense is an intelligence and effort type of thing. And you saw that from him. And then naturally, as he grows more comfortable, the offensive strides will come with it. But I thought he never took away from the offense. I thought you can put him with anyone and he can supplement that person. Like he won't do a Leo Komarov. He knows how to find guys. He knows how to play make. So it's not that there are detriments to the offense and then people who just aren't going to like score a bunch of goals, but can contribute and not take away. So he definitely falls into the latter, and he offers more than that. And a team, like we just mentioned, that is struggling so much in their own end defensively, I would never take him out of the lineup. Fashing, we'll see. That could be a flash in the pan type of thing. Obviously, I am always skeptical of young guys. They can have little bursts. Holmstrom is the first exception I've essentially made since Taves, albeit not to the level. Like I thought Taves immediately was their Islanders' best defenseman as far as the eye test went, apparently the metrics as well. But Holmstrom is someone I definitely want to see stick around, and especially I think he's on the perfect line for his set of skills. And yeah, those are definitely a couple positives to.
So I think you answered what was going to be my follow-up question, is that, you know, if Palmieri is healthy and Clutterbuck's healthy, you think Holmstrom, he stays and they work out, whether it's Josh Bailey sitting or someone else, you think Holmstrom deserves to just stay in the lineup?
That shouldn't be a question. Josh Bailey can hardly even skate at an NHL level right now. I mean, he looks like there's mud glued to his skates. He is a huge detriment out there. He is awful out there. He's playing. I'm sorry. I know this is kind of the Saturday morning audience, but he is brutal out there. And like what you've seen from Beauvillier these last couple of games. Oh, that's right. He's still a guy in his 20s and can show flashes and still is going to have ups and downs with his confidence, but he's clearly creating plays. He still has that speed. He was able to get a goal the other night, but also some great setups. He is somebody who obviously can still contribute. He can find his game. Bailey, you can't go turn back time. If I could turn back time.
If I could find a way. Yeah.
Yeah, but Josh Bailey can't.
Probably my favorite Cher song.
He can't find a way. Unfortunately,
I have lots of favorite Cher songs. Got to put that one number one, I think.
He can find a way out of the lineup, and that's just going to have to be what happens when you're looking at the – I mean, they've known this, actually. They've healthy scratched him a good amount the last two seasons when the team has been healthy. We will see, but it's hard to deny that he's contributing considerably less than those aforementioned younger players, so he would be the first to sit, absolutely. But this isn't already known. This has been known for a long time.
I just,
time.
You know, it's one thing for it to be kind of, you know, healthy scratch here, healthy scratch there, whereas he's being supplanted by now a 21-year-old who's proved himself and that they like enough about to say, well, this guy, it's his roster spot now, and you're going to have to wait for another opportunity or an injury to get back. So I think that's,
you know, what's funny. You know,
that's the plays, difference, you know.
He plays like he knows the team's done with him too. I don't know how to describe it. He plays like a guy who knows he's like, this is kind of my last stretch. I don't know how to,
got another year left.
No, I understand. But he's playing like a guy who knows it's the end of the road. His play seems so unmotivated. I do not know how to describe it. But even slow, lazy Josh Bailey of the previous two seasons looks considerably different than this level, unless he's just deteriorating to that. What an old
had a goal and assist in Boston. Had a goal and assist in Boston.
Look, you can bring up those Josh Bailey playoff assists, but it's no different than the Islanders' style of play. In the long run, the truth will reveal itself, and he's a massive anchor on what is now that top line. They've tried throwing him on the top line, so that needs to be rectified.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I mean, obviously, Clutterbuck can't stick in the lineup. Neither can Palmieri. And it sounded like Clutterbuck's injury this time, you know, unrelated to his offseason shoulder injury, but they didn't disclose exactly what happened. He had got headbutted in that game against the Devils and came back with the cage. So he's just been in and out, in and out. You know, he signed a 2-year extension, and you wonder whether or not his body is just breaking down on him, and whether or not, you know, he needs to have a kind of some considerable time off to kind of get a little bit healthy. And then Palmieri unfortunately gets hit again up high and has to stay out of the lineup, miss a couple of games after returning for the game against Arizona. So it looks like at least in the short term, both Holmstrom and Fasching will have a little bit more opportunity at least Thursday night against the Rangers and maybe the day after against the Florida Panthers. And then we'll kind of reassess what this lineup would look like at full strength. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Eastern Conference playoff picture. I want to talk about sportsmanship in the game of hockey that we saw on Monday. And we'll talk a little bit more Christmas items. Is that okay there, Andy? I jumped. Absolutely. You wanted to say something. Okay.
No. You know what's wild? I was going to say something about the Eastern Conference playoff race. And then you said that's something that you wanted to talk about. So it actually works out quite nicely.
So, all right. So then we'll go to the break. You are listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast powered by the Fansided Sports Network. Joe Bono and Andy Francis will be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back. Joe Bono, Andy Francis, Eyes on Isles podcast. And I wanted to talk about the Eastern Conference playoff race. Things tight. Things are likely going to stay tight. But I'll just be honest. As a person who roots for the Islanders, who watches all Islander games, I look at the teams that are there. I look at the teams that are right there with the Islanders and slightly behind. And I go, which one of these teams do I have confidence the Islanders staying ahead against? And it's hard to pick one. Washington, maybe. Washington now, after their overtime win in Detroit, has a tie in points with the Islanders, although the Islanders have played one less game. And then you still have the Florida Panthers, who are the President's Trophy winners, who the Islanders can't beat, still trying to find their way after last season, hovering there in the 9th and 10th spots. So, you know, Pittsburgh's gone through a winning streak. The Rangers have now won 7 in a row. The Devils are slipping, and you kind of called that. I'll give you credit. We were recording last time, and they had that game against the Rangers where they gave up those couple goals within 5-7 seconds. And you said, "Yeah, we'll see what happens if they lose this one." And sure enough, they've lost 5 in a row. And Carolina might be the best all-around team in the division. And they're right there with the Devils right now. So
they are. They're doing that.
It's without, hard. It's without. Hard to figure out where the Islanders – the Islanders are going to have to play really good hockey, really close to 100-point pace again probably to stave off one or two of these teams.
Well, I could easily go the other way and say – a couple weeks ago, people were calling for Pittsburgh to be dismantled. Gallant to be fired. And yes, you can go look these. This is how ludicrous people are, by the way. 100-point season gets them to a couple games of the Stanley Cup final because they get off to a start where they were one game over 500. A guy should be fired. That's why I really just hate everybody online. Anyway, looking at the Rangers and Pittsburgh, we've seen massive losing streaks from them. And if you've shown something once, it doesn't mean it's an impossibility. And those same flaws can show their faces once again. Is it overly likely? I don't necessarily think so in the Rangers case when you have a goalie like that. However, the Metro, I will maintain something I said before the season. It is a scam division where people claim everybody's good, but the only really good team that has Stanley Cup aspirations is Carolina. All these other teams, they're one level under that. They're not at the Toronto level. They're not at the Boston level. They're not at the it's Boston, Toronto, then Carolina, maybe then Tampa this year. Those other ones are in the next tier, which is why the Islanders and Rangers made it to the Eastern Conference Final 2 years ago, that they got the right matchups in the Metro. To me, I'm not interested in a wild card unless it's the first wild card, which gets us out of the other division. If you go to the other division, that's it. Just say goodbye to the playoffs. I'd rather miss the playoffs than go play Boston in the first round, followed by the winner of Tampa-Toronto. No, thank you. You're finished. I'd rather avoid an embarrassing playoff loss and realize they need to do some retinkering. I'm signed up for one thing, and it's making it through that Metro division where you see teams can be upset like Carolina was by the Rangers, got pushed to seven by Boston, and Pittsburgh, who blew a 3-1 lead, hasn't won an opening round series in 5 years. The Rangers, who had a 2-0 lead against Tampa, blew that one, don't have a ton of playoff experience outside of last year. It's Metro or nothing for me. And when I'm looking at that Metro, yeah, these teams are currently on big runs, all of them. Carolina, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Washington, their last 10 are all 9-0-1 for Washington, 8-1-1 for Rangers, 7-2-1 for Pittsburgh, 7-2-1 for Washington. And then you look at some of those games that the Islanders blew, you know, Philadelphia, a tired Predators, tired Blues, Arizona. I mean, they kind of deserve where they're at right now, but they're close enough still where they can dig their way out of it. And, you know, the standings should be a big motivator to the team to show some urgency in their game, because those points are coming at a premium, but they need to stay within that 2-3 spot in the division. And the Devils, I'm growing increasingly unworried about them. You saw a classic early season. Oh, look at this. And then as play starts to slow down and teams start to get into who they're going to be and get real comfortable and ingratiated to the season, the veteran teams who you never see the best out of in the first quarter, now the Devils are doing their moonwalk down the standings, and the Isles don't have the luxury of lollygagging the way that they have so much throughout the early part of this season. So, you know, I think in these next 15 games, you'll see what it's like, because they're not the type of team that at the end of the year, as you saw last year, oh, we just need to go on a 9-0-1 run. That ain't going to happen with this squad. So you have to churn out points now. So this next stretch, including this big one against the Rangers, is pretty important, if you ask me.
And, you know, we've talked about them playing up to their competition or playing down to their competition. After the game against Arizona, their record against teams below them in the standings dropped to just 11-9. Whereas now I think after the Vegas and game against Colorado, they are 7-4-2. I'm not sure if Colorado was ahead or below them in the standings based on points as things went off yesterday. But either way, you know, they're not taking care of business in the games that they need to pick up points when points are going to be so crucial because the conference is so tight. I mean, losing twice to Arizona, and I know they're not, you can't call them the lowly Arizona Coyotes anymore,
yes,
but
can.
They're still not. They're better than lowly.
I don't do this thing. They're 10-15-5. They have 10 wins and 20
losses. They're
a bad
team.
Two of those wins came
against. Worse than that. Yeah.
Whatever you want to lie to yourself and call it, they lost to an inferior team, a significantly inferior team.
You can be inferior. Doesn't make you lowly.
All right. Are the Anaheim Ducks lowly?
I think, are they, I feel like they're lowly.
Yeah, you're damn right they're lowly, and they're 9-20-3. Arizona's 10-15-5. these are garbage teams.
That's a 4-point spread between the two teams. Chicago is lowly. I say Chicago's lowly, Anaheim's lowly. Arizona's bad.
They are. I mean, I don't know. See, like you're one of these justifiers. You know, you have an abusive wife and you're just justifying because it's your wife. No, Arizona's awful. They've lost a home game and a road game. We're shut out by them and then lost a high scoring one. It's awful. It's embarrassing. And I sound like Stephen A. Smith. It's awful. It's embarrassing. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. I mean,
we wish you a Merry Christmas.
I want to be optimistic here. I just, you know, just looking at the teams that are in this mix, and it just feels like, how are they not destined to just finish ninth again, but just a lot closer ninth than last year?
You're overvaluing the teams in front of them. That's how.
Really? I mean, I read the comments. How far do you think the Devils are going to slide? All the way out? Oh,
they're gone. They're missing the playoffs. They're awful. Are you watching these games? They're the Devils of last year.
I'm not watching the Devil games.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, how about this? Okay, fine. You don't have to watch
every
them.
Second of the Devil games. No,
no, I don't. Relax. I don't mean it like that. I'm saying, look at the tendencies that you're seeing. Now they can't score on their own home ice. They're being kept to one goal. They're just not handling adversity, which you'd expect of a young team. They were on cloud nine, all offense, all the time. Offense dries up, ladies and gentlemen. Good defense design.
Okay, so just to recap, Devils sliding, Rangers inconsistent 5-on-5 team, reliant on goaltending that hasn't been as good as they were, despite the fact they've won 7 in a row, really tough schedule coming up the rest of the way. Devils have a tough schedule coming up the rest of the way. Pittsburgh has had their surge, but still an aging roster. So,
yeah, 40-year-old roster. How are they going to look at game 65?
So which of those teams? So if you had to pick one, Pittsburgh, Jersey and the Rangers, which one of the Islanders outlasting in the Metro to finish third and avoid the embarrassing matchup that you'd rather not have?
The Islanders can 100% catch the Rangers, and they can 100% finish on top of Pittsburgh. 100%. Carolina, I believe, is the class of the division, and they're going to be adding Pacioretty. I think they are I really do think they're a Stanley Cup contender this year, and I have the Devils missing the playoffs. I mean, they're currently I mean, think about how embarrassing this is. Right now, we're going off on the Islanders. Like
6 points behind them.
They're 6 points. The embarrassing if you look at how they've played against their opponents, Islanders are 6 points behind this Devils, who have lost 5 in a row. Show me a Stanley Cup team, and I hope I'm making this up off the top of my head, but I'm confident enough this was it. Show me a Stanley Cup team that just dropped 5 in a row. Now I'm thinking about those St. Louis Blues who were bottom of the standings like in December or whatnot. However, they're not destined for the playoffs. I mean, we're not even at the halfway point. It's not like it's game 60 and they just have to hold on. The majority of the season is still left. I mean.
Okay. All right, so I'm overvaluing a couple of these teams.
No, I mean,
no, you're not alone in your opinion. I mean, I posted that, you know, on Twitter, yesterday morning, and I said it's hard for me, you know, to imagine which of these teams are going to fall out of playoff contention. And you have Florida there, who has been scuttling along, and they're at 34 points, and you think they may make a run out of it at some point. So, you know, I'm not believing in Buffalo quite yet, no matter how many Tage Thompson highlight goals I
there
feel.
You go.
And I've already been discounting Washington.
There but. You go. No. You have the appropriate philosophy. Now apply your Buffalo philosophy to the New Jersey Devils. Yes, exactly. They just had a much hotter start.
It's a more talented roster up and down, though, than Buffalo. Come on.
Yeah, what was their Achilles heel last year? They couldn't stop the puck from going in and chasing game. Now look recently. Look, they were blitzkrieging teams early this season. And now, if your offense even dries up a little bit, can you keep pucks out of your net? And as of recently, the answer has been a resounding no.
I think you just have to give them the opportunity to see if Lindy Ruff can, you know, I don't think anyone thought they were going to just play at this unbelievable pace all season long. They were going to have this rut. It's happening right now. Give them an opportunity to maybe learn from it and come out on the other side, then make the assessment. And listen, it's a bold proclamation. I know you're probably not the only one that feels that way, but we shall see whether or not, which of the teams tend to drop. You know, you have those three teams ahead of the Islanders. We'll say Carolina's the lock. You got the Devils, the Penguins, the Rangers, Capitals, even with the Islanders. Which of those three teams may slide and allow the Islanders to maybe get that three spot, have a 2-3 matchup? Hey, you know what would be great? How about Islanders-Rangers playoffs? We haven't seen it in 28 years. They only played three times during the regular season. They're not scheduled to play at all in 2023. Maybe that will be finally the time when they finally meet in the postseason in the spring. It'll be 29 years since the drubbing in 94, if that happens.
I wish it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
This team, I'd be scared to run out there.
You can wait 3 decades for the playoff matchup you want to win when it happens. It's
I
crazy.
Do. That I do.
Happens. I remember being confident. I remember being like 12 years old in 94 and just, you know, had gone to some games in 93 and during the 94 season, chanted 1940 with my heart out. And, you know, was confident. I'm like, oh, this is great. We're going to be the 8th seed, play the Rangers. You know, a couple of years earlier, the Rangers won the President's Trophy and got knocked out by Pittsburgh, I think, in the second round. Yeah, they'll choke again. And, man, that was an absolute drubbing. Ron Hextall and Jamie McClellan.
Oof. Yeah, no good. No good.
All right, so switching gears. The moment the entire hockey world is talking about, Cal Makar's sportsmanship, where he was not tripped by Matthew Barzal, motioned and waved to the referee to call it off, and the penalty was waved off by the referees after that moment of honesty. His truth set Barzal free, and I guess it was a sweet moment. I don't know if it deserves all this attention. It sounded like it was instinctive, and he really wouldn't have done it again if given the opportunity. I mean, a cool moment. I guess it's happened before. There were a couple of video clips sent out that I guess Ovechkin did something similar a couple of years ago, although it was really the first time I, you know, recollect seeing it, obviously, in an Islanders game. So a cool moment, especially when it's one of the premier players in the league and really another premier player, or at least an all-star caliber player involved as well. But, you know, your thoughts on the sportsmanship. Should we see more of that? Should we see more of letting the referees know that it wasn't a penalty?
Well, I guess the reason he also has to apologize, it's actually indirectly, whether they believe it or not, calling the ref stupid. Like, no, you got that blatantly wrong. It wasn't a penalty. Then the refs, who just blew the whistle to stop it for a penalty, have to go, there was no penalty, which really is code for, yeah, I blew that one. And I could understand why. I don't know. Maybe he's done some naughty things earlier this year, and he's that classic guy who tries to ramp up his karma before the holidays, hoping he doesn't get that coal. You know, maybe Cale Makar is living this double life, and he's like, if I do a nice deed the week of Christmas, it's going to even it all out. You know, like a karma golf score, bringing it to zero. No, I mean, it was gentlemanly of him. That's really all there is to say about it.
They were saying Lady Bing, right? He's got the Lady Bing all wrapped up after that, probably.
True.
That's all it takes. Just have to wave off one penalty a year, and you could probably at least get it to the finals of the Lady Bing for the Gentlemanly Sportsmanship Award. I kind of went back. I'm like, did he think that maybe they were going to call him for embellishment? And that was kind of his initial reaction. No, but no, it was, it was a clear tripping call indicated by the ref. Also in the game, we got to see, you know, your pal Devontaes, and he showed his flashes as usual. He had a nice dart to the net where Butch Goring said, yo, is this guy a forward with that type of speed? And then they actually referenced that. I actually had forgotten that he won the AHL fastest skater competition as a defenseman in 2017. And I found that old Bridgeport Sound Tigers tweet. And I'm not sure if
he blew by everybody.
Yeah.
He blew by everybody. I mean, it was always there to see. And if you people want to point at anything like, how could you know? You also got to understand they played him as a third pairing defenseman 16 minutes per game. And in that 2020 Stanley Cup run, he matched Ryan Pulock in points. So he was the leading point scorer for defensemen, also given minimal opportunity. He was a third pairing defenseman. Maybe you can argue second. But when you look at his stats, to say like he never would have been what he was. And it's the most idiotic take anyone could ever have. He had limited ice time. If you were going to give him more of a featured role, of course he was going to go. And when you look at how Ryan Pulock offensively has dipped since then, imagine he would be our 1A offensive defenseman. Absolutely. And you can't point to the production in the seasons where he wasn't given a significant opportunity, like his rookie year when he's getting 16 to 17 minutes a game. And then, by the time he left, he finally was getting more closer to what he deserved. but the writing was clear as day. It's one of the most boneheaded mistakes that really cost them 5 years of an extremely affordable, top-tier, top-10 NHL defenseman. And it's something that I just personally can probably never let go.
And you haven't, to your credit. You know, even Brendan, you know, mentioned it. Oh, you know, Devontae's traded for a couple of second round picks for as the Islanders try to alleviate some, you know, cap pressures, cap restraints. And it's like, you know, they had he's like they had to sign Matt Barzal and they had to sign Ryan Pulock that offseason. It's like they'd have to sign them to they signed them to the big deals years later. They got their big extensions.
There is a press memo set out by the Islanders every year. I refuse to believe it, that if you're a public personality, you must stick to the under the cap scam plan. We saw multiple teams, and then the second excuse is roster COVID freeze. Oh, cool. Yeah, because Nate Schmidt wasn't unloaded to relief salary. You saw the trades. You saw Mark Stahl. You saw Stahl shipped off to Detroit because they needed to relieve Sal. You saw the same thing with Nate Schmidt. There were deals to be made. There was not some magic roster freeze where GMs refused. There is a memo going around that you have to lie and say this because the very next year, Nick Leddy was dealt anyway. So if that was going to be the case, why wouldn't you have dealt Leddy for whatever you could get and keep Tave? It was a scam. Somebody made a colossal error, and there's a big cover-up going on. This is a big conspiracy. This is a JFK cover-up going on.
Oliver Stone. There was a second documentary shooter coming out.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I personally believe
about.
I'm a big JFK.
I'm not going to say like conspiracy if I believe in the conspiracy, but I'll watch anything related to that like forever. It's on the History Channel. If the movie JFK is on, he came out with another thing that was running on Amazon that I watched the other day, like a Through the Looking Glass thing.
So
and there's that and one, those files are still not released. They're still not completely redacted and released to the public. So I want to know about that one. And the second one I want to know about is why the Islanders couldn't come up with some other way to maneuver their salary situation and roster to keep Taze. I mean, basically, to me, it came down to that they didn't project the player well enough.
That's what it came down to, right? Wake up, everybody. That's what it was. He showed he was the type of player from day one. I started making full video evidence for him until people finally realized that I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. My point's proven. It was there since day one. They knew it. And as far as your claim JFK, I don't look into that too much. I have zero interest in that one, but there is one that Bob Lazar story is fascinating to me, the whole Area 51 thing. And I am not a freaking alien guy. I don't give two rat's asses about aliens or anything like that. But when I watched that guy's interview, I swear to you, I just happened to watch it and I was like, what? Because I took everything out of it. Forget about what he's saying. As far like I spent years in acting classes. I know how awful your average human is as in trying to like lie about things. And this guy, I just said, what is coming out of that guy's mouth? If the Grim Reaper came up to me and said, your whole life depends on it, is that guy telling you the truth right now? I would die and say yes. So then I like reverse searched everything about what he was talking about. And then I became fascinated. Like I watched his interviews in the 80s and stuff like that. And things that he talked about ended up coming true like throughout these last couple of decades. That one was very fascinating to me.
Well, it's been a big couple of years for the UFO crowd with all these images that the U.S. Navy says they can't identify, but they have footage of.
That was the big New York Times article. And I know all of this shit because I watched that interview and then I reversed. So then I learned about the New York Times thing. Then I watched all sorts of stuff about it. It was wild. I can't believe that.
So what do you think we'll know first? We'll know who shot JFK, Area 51, or why the Islanders traded Devontae's? Which one will we?
Can I have dark humor for a second?
Sure.
I'm going to ask Lou, whenever that day is in 35 years, what the hell happened with Taze? Was it you? Was it Barry? Who wanted him out of there? Because Tave supposedly has nothing bad to say about the Islanders. So I don't know. Difficult to say.
Interesting. All right, let's wrap this one up with Christmas plans. You're headed back to New York. You're pretty much a frequent flyer back and forth. So you're headed home for Christmas. What does Christmas Eve and Christmas Day look like? Are you a Seven Fishes family?
Well, what's going on? I'm going to tell you something that if there are any Italians out there, I'm not 100%, but I got half in me. So I guess I can blame this on the other half. But I don't eat seafood. So Christmas Eve, very little significance for me. So more of a Christmas morning. But as we were talking about for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, when you're just some random guy, what are these holidays anymore? You think I wake up in the morning?
A lot of run football, to the tree? At least this year is cool with the football. That's great to have the football on. And it's your the greatest gift. It's like Thanksgiving twice in a row.
It's the greatest gift. I mean, even the last Saturday was Thanksgiving. They gave us three games. This is great, and it's probably one of the best Christmas gifts I could ask for. And I can kind of roll that into something we've been talking about. Or do you want to shift, or can I stay on the Christmas vibe?
Yeah, no, stay on the Christmas vibe.
All right. Well,
just don't wish anyone else death.
No, I didn't. Whoa. Huge difference between wishing death and forecasting when that date might be. Okay. There are gambling sites. I saw on a betting website, you could bet who was going to die first a couple of years ago, Artie Lang or Bob Barker. One due to old age, obviously.
Happy 99th, Bob Barker.
Yes, sir. And I believe we chose, forget about that. Anyway, let me focus on jolly things like Christmas. So I think one of the reasons Joe stumbled upon me to help him with this podcast is one of the stories that I told about the Bad Santa's melee from Islanders history that happened almost 20 years ago. And what I will say is if you guys watch after the Islanders play the Rangers, there may be something on it featuring my storytelling. So if everything I understand is correct, after the Islanders play the Rangers this coming week, I may be making an appearance. Just maybe.
Wow. Big programming announcement here.
Yeah.
So I got to set the DVR or whatever it is I do on my streaming service.
Well,
when do I know for sure?
I believe, you know, something tells me that this week, you know, it's Christmas week, a commercial will pop up. But definitely during that game, plans change all the time. But as of right now, after the game, they're going to detail the Islander Santa quote unquote brawl. And I use that term loosely. And when you watch the show, you'll realize why I'm going to put brawl in quotes, because I was the orchestrator of that whole event.
Wow.
Which I have mentioned a couple every time. You know what? I can't say more because.
So we've been talking about some of the great mysteries out there throughout the course of this episode here. And we just lifted the veil on one of them, it appears.
I think you just found the name for this episode, Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries. Watch that 9 years old, 9 o'clock at night. Like I'm up in my room by myself.
That theme scared me.
I'm going to watch Unsolved Mysteries and then I'm going to go to bed.
That theme scared me, and I swear to you, because I thought it was kind of like the Michael Myers theme. It was like a slight variation of it. But I don't want to say too much because obviously the same things that I would say here are going to be said there. And all I will let you know is that whole event, the way it gets reported, is different than it actually happened. And the reason that I know that is because I was the orchestrator of the whole
thing. Maestro.
Yes. So that's a little tease I will give you. And who knows? There's always a 22% chance they can pull everything once they research some of the things that I've said on here. However, I think it's going to be up there. So check MSG for during the post game of the Islanders Rangers. Now, the Islanders are probably going to be on MSG plus Rangers on MSG. It's going to probably be on the main MSG. So definitely check that out.
I have to DVR the game anyway because I'll be at Disney on Ice on Thursday night. Bad job out of me. Did not check the hockey schedule. I'll be at the Bridgeport Islanders Arena in Total Mortgage Arena Thursday night. I think I'll be able to get home. I don't know how long these things could go. Maybe 90 minutes tops.
Now, do you have
start at 7? I think I'll be back for the third period.
Do you have a are you the kind of dad that you have the phone off to the side?
I'm not bringing my daughter. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, I was going to start with that. I was going to say, you going with your best friends?
I won't be streaming. She doesn't know right now. It's a surprise. So like her and her like best friend from her school are, you know, the two parents kind of, we got together and said, hey, wouldn't this be a fun idea for Christmas time to surprise them? So both of us are going to just throw our kids in the car and not tell them where they're going. And then they're going to be hopefully really excited when they find out where they're going. And then even more excited when they see that their like best friend is there. So I'm excited just to see their reactions, but it should be a good show. So I'll be at Total Mortgage Arena Thursday night.
I'm a bad Santa, but you're a good father.
Thank you,
sir. It's great to hear.
You're Billy Bob Borton and then Andy Francis right there on the bad Santa list. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Eyes on Isles podcast. We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, although I think we'll probably sneak in one more episode before the new year, and then we'll see whether or not Andy's show is still greenlit or it has been pulled. For Mr. Andy Francis, everyone's favorite Florida man, I am Joe Bono. We will talk to you next time on this country. Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.